of his crimes, but on the cross he cried out to Jesus, and mercy came into his life and made a difference in him. Now I thank God this morning that mercy walked in. When I was standing before God, guilty as charged, everything in the world was against me, but God said, I have a son and I have an advocate. Thank God, Jesus, that came and bled and died to become my lawyer, sitting at the right hand of the Father this morning, being my advocate, taking my case before God, before his high throne, and thank God, being the substitute for me who was guilty, who was lost and dying in sin. I thank God. I was so guilty, so bound, so in prison, but God set me free through the blood of Jesus. Now, John chapter 8, verse 1 said, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. That's how Jesus did things. You see, he would teach them in a way that they could understand. He would speak to them on their level. He also quote to them the Bible, because he was the Word. He came and took on flesh and walked among men that we would have the Word with us. He took on the flesh that he could, in that body, take on that carnal body, that he could condemn sin in that body, that he could overcome, but to be able to make us guiltless and set us free from the sin that was going to send us to hell because of pride and things that entered into Lucifer's heart there in heaven whenever he was cast out. And then he came and tempted man, and we failed, and we still do, but we've got one who is greater. His name is Jesus. Thank God he's still coming into the temple, and he's still teaching us today if we'll only listen and open our ears. Thank God he's got a message of salvation. He's got a message of forgiveness. He's got a message of mercy and long-suffering today if we'll only listen to the blood of Jesus and listen to him speak to us. He'll come in into our temple, and he'll sit down and he'll teach us his precepts of his word. In verse 3 it says, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, by the Old Testament law and by the customs of the people that was handed down, the rightful administration of justice should have been that she was stoned to death. But they brought her to Jesus to try him and to tempt him. And don't we do the same thing today with our sins and our shortcomings? Don't we still try to tempt Jesus to see if he'll still forgive us because we willfully misuse the right of being eternally saved? Say, well, I'm saved and I can't get relost, I'll do whatever I want to. It'll be all right. Friend, it ain't going to be that way. It ain't going to be that way. If you commit those sins and trespasses, you're hurting yourself. Let me tell you, God's still God. He's still on the throne. If you want to be separated and you want to have a miserable life, you just continue on in that path and you can just be as miserable as you want to. Or you can get in touch with Jesus and you can get back. But they were tempting Jesus. And they brought the woman that was caught in the very act. And I know you've heard me say this before. Why were they there when she was caught in the very act? Were they participating? We don't know. It doesn't give us the rest of the information. Need Paul Harvey to find out the rest of the story. He was good at that, always to find out the rest of the story. You know, many times we hear the first part of the story, but we don't want to listen to the end of the story. We don't want to listen to the moral part of the story. We're fast to cast judgments. We're fast to come up with our own conclusions. But I thank God that whenever I was guilty, Jesus walked in and said, my mercy's sufficient. My mercy's sufficient. But we see here, it says now in verse 5, they go on to tell him like they needed to tell Jesus what the law said. They said, now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. But what sayest thou? See, they're tempting him. We're doing the same thing today. Yeah, in our landing country, we got the Word of God, what we need to put up to be truth. But we're tempting Him because we're trying to alter it. We're trying to change it. We're wanting God to fit our mold and us not fit God's mold. Maybe we need to go back to the potter's wheel and say, here I am, God. I'm a mess. Make me over again. I'm a mess. That sounds like a message that might come up again here before long. But what sayest thou? Jesus was full of love, compassion. He had already spoken what the judgment was for sin. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know all these passages. But why do we turn a blind eye to our own? Our own. We need to make sure that, like the song said this morning, when we're praying for change for someone, we better pray for God to change us first. that our life would be acceptable to Him. And then others can be changed. Have you ever thought, what if you're the one to change someone else's life, but look what a mess you're in? I think a term I use today, things are a hot mess. There's a lot of people today that's in a hot mess. They're not following God. They're following everything else in the world but God. But whenever it comes time and they have a little rough spot, oh, I got to get back to church. Let's smooth it over. I'll go 6 months. I'll give Him 6 months. Let me tell you, being a Christian is not just a 6 month commitment. Being a Christian and being Christ's child is a lifetime commitment to an eternal life. Jesus made the commitment of eternal life. You make the commitment to serve Him in whatever capacity He sees fit to call you into. I've told you before, this is the last thing on earth I ever thought I would do. But God had a different plan. God had a different plan. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might find to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down, and with His finger wrote on the ground, as though He heard them not. Do we not make decisions upon what our hearsay that we hear? Do we find out the evidence and let it speak beyond a shadow of a doubt? Do we go on all hearsay? They call that circumstantial evidence, I think, in the secular world. We got to have hard evidence. We've got it. God's Word, of His existence, of His blessings, of also His chastisement, of His wrath that is to come to those that die separated from God. We see the wrath that's going to be poured out upon this world to cleanse it. When it's cleansed by fire, and the world as we know it's going to be cleansed, and all sin and impurity is going to be gone, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. You say, preacher, that scares me. Get in the book. It won't. Amen. Let the book get in you, and it won't, because you look forward to that time. Because if you're saved, you're not going to go through the troubles. Amen. You're not going to go through the trials. You're going to be able to be blessed and be with God. Lord. And be on the winning side. But He stooped down as though He hadn't heard them. How many times has God not heard our prayers? Because in our accusations and in our life, there's something between us that we can't get in contact with God. How many times is there separation caused by this carnal flesh? How many times because we've not been to Him in prayer? Brother Ron said, you know, his example yesterday, you know, this is me. I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was a month ago. Maybe it was last year. I can't remember exactly, but here I am again. You remember me? Do you have a relationship like that with God? I hope not. Do you pray on Sunday, but you forget the other 6 days? I hope not. That'd be like Brandon being ready to go back to school every Friday. God wants us to be in contact with Him daily. Daily. And it don't take hours and hours upon your knees. If you've got the time and you can spare it and you can pray like that, then that's great. But sometimes it just takes a little bit of time just spent with the Father to have a great conversation. Be closer. Be lifted up. But He looked down as though He didn't hear them. And I pray that He never looks down when I'm speaking to Him and acts as though He doesn't hear me. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now there's many people today that's casting stones that's got just as much sin in their life as the one they're casting the stone at. And then there's those that are living as close to God as they can do in this flesh, are trying to live as close to God as they can in this flesh. But there's none that's on this earth that are not without sin. We have to be sure that we're in line with God to point out our failure first and our sin. And to be big enough to realize it. And sometimes it takes a Christian friend to say, hey, you know, that's not right. Well, sometimes we don't listen to God, and it takes the words of someone else to get our attention. And God may use someone to confront you on the sin that's in your life. Don't get mad at them. Take it up with God. He may have used a voice that you had listened to because you didn't heed His. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Do you ever feel like it's just you and Jesus sometimes? Sometimes that's the best place to get, where it's just you and Jesus. Have a talk with Him. Have a conversation with Him. Walk with Him. Walk with Him. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where art thou accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Do you notice now there's something there that's very, very, very important that we seem to sometimes miss. We put the emphasis on everyone had to leave because no one had sinned or was without sin to cast the first stone. But also when He spoke to the woman who had been taken in adultery, He said, They're not here to condemn you, neither do I, but go and sin no more. We need to call sin what it is and not be ashamed, and we need to say, Go and sin no more. Friend, if you bring a burden or you bring a sin that you've committed to this altar, don't pick it up and take it back to the pew. If you're trying to get rid of something in your life, don't take it up again and carry it back with you. That's not what God wants us to do. He said when we cast our burdens upon Him, to leave them there. To leave them there with Him. But go and sin no more. In verse 12, now we're to be lights. But when we're cast in darkness, we can't light this world. By the way, I saw that commercial again. It wasn't a match. It was a candle. A candle could be seen 10 miles away by the human eye. One candle. That's still not a lot of light. But if our light's as bright as one candle, is it shining in this dark world? Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Thank God that mercy walked in and gave us life, gave this woman forgiveness. I apologize. Not for the preaching, but for the cough. Now if you'll turn to John 11, we're going to see another instance in God's Word. You say, oh my goodness, He said there's 3 points, it's already 12 o'clock. We ain't going to get out of here to one. You pray hard, I'll preach fast. But we see now a family that had come together. Jesus has gotten word now that his friend Lazarus was sick unto death. And Jesus tells them, look, said, it's not a sickness unto death. Our friend Lazarus is going to be all right, but it's going to be for the glory of God. And then he told them, he said, listen, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. They said, listen, said Jesus, if he's sleeping, it's well that he's sleeping. He said, he had to get right down to plain language with them. Said, listen, Lazarus is dead because he tarried 4 days. Why did he tarry 4 days? For the glory of God. We wouldn't read about Lazarus now if it had happened any other way. 4 days, the Jewish people thought he was corrupt and he stinketh, and they wouldn't know way he was coming back to life, and all possibility of life was gone. They just didn't bury him down there and just didn't make sure they made the right call. You know, today we hear about that. People being in there and be taken down into the morgue and open it up and they still be alive. I hope I don't never go to that hospital. I want them to give me a fighting chance before they put me on ice. But here Lazarus was dead and he was buried. He was in the tomb. A stone was laid before the door. And we see now Jesus is on the way down to see Mary and Martha. And they were so heartbroken. This was their brother that they loved. And also Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus here. And his heart was also broken. But he knew he was having compassion for those that were weeping and mourning, because he knew that Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. He knew that he was going to break up that death party, that there wasn't going to be no funeral. Hey, they'd done been laying to rest, but he was going to wake him up and say, look, there ain't no time to rest now. Get up. You got to go tell people about what's happened here. And we're going to go to verse 18. It says, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, whoops, I read the wrong thing. Where did I go to? Am I in the right book? Y'all just hold on just a second. That's what happens when your eyes get bad. Well, we'll just go back. I know it's in the book of John. I'll find it for you just a second. Quickly as I can. No. John 20. I had John 11 also on my mind there last night, and I ended up in John 20. I apologize. We see mercy walked in. Verse 17 of John 20 says, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not descended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I am ascended unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now we see here it's after the crucifixion. We see now it's after their leader had been crucified on the cross and laid in the tomb. And here it is, they're gathered together for fear because they knew that the ones that were in the city round about knew who followed Jesus and knew who walked with him. And here they were gathered together. And though they had heard the news that Jesus had risen, they were still in fear. They were still afraid. But we see now that as they're gathered together that Jesus walks into the midst of them. He comes through into the room without opening the door because he filled the presence there with his presence, and he was able to be there with them to comfort their heart. Mercy walked in because they were afraid. Mercy walked in because they were in shock and because of everything that had took place. But Jesus came into their life to speak peace unto them and bring them peace. When we're troubled in this life that we live, that Jesus has peace for us and can bring it in our times of trouble and bring peace to us. He brought peace to Mary and Martha whenever they were there and their brother Lazarus had died. He went to the graveside and said, where have you laid him? And they showed him. And he spoke unto to them, says, take away the stone from the door. It said, John 11:35, shortest verse in the Bible, said Jesus wept, not because he was mourning because of what had happened to Lazarus, because those around him doubted so much of the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ, but he brought him forth from the place. Maybe he was weeping because he knew that the goodness that was waiting for Lazarus, waiting there in paradise for his death on the cross in just a few short days there, it was going to follow after these things take place, a few short weeks, and all this was going to be fulfilled, that he would have been going to be in heaven with him and being comforted in paradise, not have to go through the rest of the troubles of this life. But we know that Jesus had mercy whenever he came into contact with people, that he extended his mercy on Jairus and his daughter, on the woman with the issue of blood, on the lepers, upon the ones that were lame, upon the ones that were blind. That every time he come in contact, his mercy came in and provided something for someone that they needed at the time, that he might be glorified. But he always told them, look, I'm not doing it of my own accord, but because of the Father that has sent me, and the things that I do is the things that I have done because I've seen the Father do likewise. He never took the credit for it, but mercy walked in. Mercy walked in that room that day whenever they were gathered together, and he was there in the midst and brought peace unto them. It said, and when he had said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Can you just imagine the elation in their hearts, the joy that they felt when they knew that what they had been told by Mary was so true, when they knew when they went there to that empty tomb that someone just hadn't stolen his body away, but that it was true that he had resurrected. Just as he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Mercy came in and made sure the work was complete that God intended for Jesus to do. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins are remitted, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins are ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Why is it important to be in the house of God? Why is it important to be with other Christians? Just like Thomas ought to have been with the rest of them there in the upper room that day, he would have had proof before him and he wouldn't have had to say, no, unless I see it for myself, I'm not going to believe. Unless I put my finger in the nail prints in his hand and thrust my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. Why, we believe the same way. Come on, by faith, we ought to believe this book and what it says. But we want to see a miracle. We want to see something move. We want neon signs flashing with big lights and the strobe lights going back and forth. And God point us a sign before we're willing to move. Dennis Swanberg said whenever they saw that when he was a young boy in Texas, he knew it was opening of a store and his daddy knew he could feed his family for free. That they were going to have hot dogs at that grand opening and he could take care of his whole family. We want to look for the handouts of God, don't we? And we want to wait till there's big shining lights and something going on, then we want to get to be part of it. We don't want to be on in the groundwork of it, getting things together, organizing for God and working for God to get the groundwork laid. We just want to be there when the big to-do's going on. We got to be there for all things. The disciples were here at the ground level. They were with Jesus. They walked with Him. They talked with Him. They ate with Him. They slept with Him. They were there. They were an inner circle. They were tight. But still yet, they didn't know the full aspect of God that was in Jesus. But Didymus, Thomas wasn't with them whenever Jesus came. It says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the prints of the nails and put my finger into the prints of the nails and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. Why do we do the same thing? By faith believing. By faith believing. This book... in this book alone. Not because I said it makes it true, because it said it and that finished it. Settled it forever in heaven. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus to the door being shut and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Once again, he's visiting with them after 8 days. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. But believing. We need to be faithful. We need to have faith that Jesus is still going to accomplish today what He did yesterday and what we have in the prophecy He's going to do tomorrow. Know that He can do it today. And just trust Him in it. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Have you seen Jesus? I hope in a figure of speech somewhere along the way you have. But does it make your faith stronger because you had a mental picture of what He might be? Our faith should be strong because God's Word has been accomplished. What the prophets foreordained in the Old Testament and spoke of come to pass. Right down to the place where He was born, right down to how He would be and everything about Him, how He would come in as a humble babe, He's coming before as a lamb before the slaughter, and He was going to be a great king. All the dual line prophecies that came out about Jesus and what He was going to do and the things that He's still going to accomplish, it's still yet to come to pass. It's all come true. And the things that He said about Him that's going to happen, they're still going to happen. He's going to come back on the white horse with His vesture dipped in blood. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I don't have to worry about no Super Bowl championship. Thank God he told me I'm more than a conqueror. I got better than a world championship or a little trophy to put up or a ring to put on my finger. Thank God I got a crown of eternal life given to me by my Father and by my God through His Son Jesus Christ, my heir and joint heir of heaven. Woo! You can have some chill bumps. It's all right. You might have a fever. It might be the Holy Spirit just moving inside your soul just a little bit. Let Him move. Let Him move. Then we see another one when mercy walked in. We're going to be done. The thief on the cross that day at Calvary. Jesus was hanging there between two thieves. Their punishment was just for their crimes. They were hanging on a rugged cross to give their life for punishment. One cross on the one hand made fun and mocked of Jesus. If you're the Son of God, save yourself and save us. If you're who you say you are, we got some in the world today, in our states, United States, that are the same way. If you're who you say you are, do these great things. If we'll get down on our knees, we'll see Him do great things. But then the other thief humbled himself because he knew what he was there for. He was worthy of, but there was nothing in this man worthy of death. He took on what you had and what I had and have to be the propitiation, payment for our sin. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And you know what? It wasn't too late for a little bit more mercy to walk in. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Paradise. That was a place that was prepared for those that died in faith believing. Thank God we don't need paradise in the heart of the earth any longer. Because Jesus went there and spoke to those that were captive, that were in that place. Now there was a great gulf that separated hell and paradise. They couldn't cross across it. We have God's Word. It tells us in Luke of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus laid at his gate and was licked. His sores was licked by the dogs, and the dogs had more compassion on him than the rich man. He wanted just the scraps from the rich man's table. And when they both died, it said in hell the rich man lifted up his eyes and saw Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. Amen. But thank God it was prepared for those that died faith believing that there was a place of paradise that was prepared until Jesus came and said, look, I'm the Messiah that was promised. My blood is sufficient. Do you still believe in the Messiah that was coming? And took those that were captive there, it says, and their bodies were released from that place and they ascended up with Him. Because they were seen. There was testimony of people that they knowed had gone, that they saw. And when Jesus ascended back, all the rest of them was gone as well and went to be with Him in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting on the rest of His church that are the saints of God. If you're saved, you're a saint. You say, well, I'm not old. I ain't a saint. You don't have to be old. Just saved. Amen. Just saved to be a saint of God. But mercy walked in that day when a woman was taken in adultery. By the law of man, she was guilty and the sentence was death. When the disciples were worried and afraid and were gathered together in the upper room there, Jesus came in to give them peace. And once again, mercy came into their lives. He gave them what they needed. The strength to believe, the strength to go on, the faith to trust Him. And He's finished work, and with the thief on the cross, mercy was extended. One thief was saved, one went to hell. You say, preacher, can you make that judgment? He never accepted Jesus. If you died lost, hell will be your home. Amen. What the Word of God tells us. We die outside of Jesus, there's no hope. Friend, this morning, mercy has come in. He still extends to you the opportunity for salvation. He'll still plead your cause before God. He'll still put His blood on your sin and make it white as snow. I still ain't figured out His color combination. Black sin, crimson blood equals white as snow. But thank God for it. He can work it any way He wants to. What it ends up being salvation for those of us that were lost that needed saving. As we stand to our feet as they get a song of invitation ready this morning. Christians pray. There's one here this morning that's lost, that they couldn't walk out those doors without turning it over to Jesus. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Jamie gets a song prepared of invitation. Pray. Sinner friend, if you're here this morning and you're lost, would you just lift your hand? Say, preacher, I'm lost. I want to be saved. Pray for me that I'll surrender it to Jesus. Is there one anywhere? One anywhere that would just lift your hand? Say, preacher, I'm lost in need of a Savior. Is there one anywhere?